Yeah, the impact now is considerably less. And because we could watch from what happened at Prudhoe Bay at the beginning development all the way through to now, we do have a lot of comparison information. We know that if Prudhoe Bay were built today, its footprint would be 64% smaller than it currently is or when it was built. There are ways to do directional drilling where you go in from angles so that you're not impacting a lot. You do a lot underground. One of the biggest ways that there's been less impact is in how wastes are disposed of. It used to be that a lot of the drilling wastes, what's pulled up from the well, was stored on site on pads up on the north slope in reserve pits. And those are now all being cleaned up. All the old ones are being cleaned up. But all new waste is either being reinjected or hauled away. And that has significantly reduced the impact on the north slope.
Over the past 6 years that you've been a commissioner of the Department of Environmental Conservation, how many incidents, environmentally degrading incidents involving oil have you had to deal with? Spills, that sort of thing?
On the north slope?
Yes.
There have been thousands over the years, but when we say thousands, it's because we require them to report absolutely everything. If you take, for instance, I think the high year in the last decade was 1993. There were about 160 spills reported. 60,000 gallons was spilled. That's the highest year of any spills in the 90s. But only two of those spills involved oil. And of those two spills, they were both under 10 gallons, and they both went into secondary containment structures. We do require that they have secondary containment construction, so that spills are automatically contained. So while the number was high, 160 spills in that particular year, only two were oil. They were small, and they were picked up. But we require them to report even brine, salt water, just to make sure that we keep track of anything that could cause a potential harm, that they clean it up properly, or to watch to see if we see a pattern of spills of a certain nature, then we can go to them and say, you're not managing this process carefully enough.
Now, in your 6 years, how many enforcement actions have you had to bring against oil company operators in the North Slope?
I don't know what the number would be, but we have had consistent actions against them, which could either be enforcement action, meaning a court action or a fine, as well as a number of compliance orders and notice of violation. And some of them we work out by pointing out the problem and getting a commitment to fix it. So you run the gamut from just pointing out a compliance problem all the way through a court enforcement action with a fine. And we have had numerous of all those categories over the years.
Now, as commissioner of the Department of Environmental Conservation, you're very much concerned about Alaska's wildlife. And some scientists say that the number of caribou that are involved around these particular drilling sites in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge are, well, there's a big risk here to the wildlife. In terms of looking at the overall ecology, how much of a threat do you see oil drilling to the ecology of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge?
Again, because it's a small area, only 8% of ANWR would be considered for opening. I don't think the overall impact would be significant or even moderately high, assuming it is very well managed. Our Department of Fish and Game is reporting that both the herds from the north slope of caribou are doing quite well. They've been tracking them over the years. The population has increased and declined over time, but they attribute that to other causes. So, I know there are expert opinions who feel differently, but our Department of Fish and Game is reporting very good news on both the Central Arctic and the porcupine herds.
Now, the area of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge we're talking about here is the coastal plain, and it's a relatively small part of it. This 8% of it that you're talking about, the drilling perhaps taking place in, is all in this coastal area. And we're looking at one report from actually a Reagan administration biologist who said that the coastal plain is the biological heart of this entire refuge. How much development can be done while preserving this unique feature of the area, do you think?
Well, in some ways, that's a policy choice. From my perspective, I think that this area, this small percentage, can be developed responsibly with no long-term impacts. There will be, of course, some short-term impacts, and there is always some degree of risk, and that's what we do is we manage risk. We try to reduce it, and we try to make sure that any harm that comes from a risk is minimized because of advanced planning. Whether or not there are some areas of the country that people feel should be zero risk areas is a public policy debate. But this area, I do believe, can be developed safely with a very vigilant oversight program and a very aggressive attitude by industry that they are going to minimize impact and they are going to invest in reducing risk.
The folks in the lower 48 make a lot of noise about the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. They want to keep it pristine. You and your governor clearly favor moving forward with drilling here. What do you say to the folks in the lower 48 who have that attitude?
I think two things. One is that there is a public policy discussion that needs to be had in this country about the need for energy sources and what areas we want to hold risk-free. But the other is to join with us, if it is opened, in a very sound management system. In Alaska, we have citizen advisory groups that are very, very aggressive in overseeing both industry and government in managing our oil and gas development. And I think, you know, I'd ask those people who are skeptical to work with us on what kind of safeguards do we need in place and what kind of oversight and what kind of monitoring would make people feel more comfortable that this can be managed responsibly.
I'm wondering how the politics in Alaska play into all of this. It's my understanding that the capacity of the pipeline is not being met right now, that more oil could be pumped through it right now. And, of course, every Alaskan gets, what, almost $2,000 a year from oil royalties. How much pressure are you and the Knowles administration under to keep this fund producing, to keep this cash coming to Alaska citizens?
Well, our economy is dependent on oil and gas development. That is the primary source of our economy, and we are a resource state. And so, of course, there will be pressure that's one of the tensions where you get the conflicts between Alaskans and people outside, as you mentioned, who want to preserve it. It's easy to preserve something that doesn't impact you personally, which is why this debate is often considered, you know, a free environmental vote for a number of people because it doesn't affect the economy or the quality of life of their citizens. So Alaska's economy is dependent on oil and gas development, but that also means we want it to be done sustainably because we want to be here for the long haul on oil and gas, on the revenues we get from oil and gas, as well as our second and third biggest industries being tourism and fishing, both of which depend on a clean environment. So yes, we do want oil development to happen, but we want it to happen in a way that doesn't compromise its long-term health or the long-term health of our other major industries.
It's interesting that you say that folks in the lower 48 don't have much of an economic interest here because some argue that the energy is needed from the National Wildlife Refuge to keep our economy going. Others say there's actually very little oil there. Sounds to me like you favor the notion that certainly wouldn't affect the national economy whether or not we drill in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
No, I'm not really equipped to talk about the national energy pros and cons. And what I was just pointing out is it's very easy to take a strong black and white environmental stand when it doesn't affect you directly. It doesn't affect your job or your community's tax base.
Well, the availability of oil in our economy, and believe me, I live in the East Coast where there are plenty of cars right here. They use oil. It does affect our economy. The message I'm getting from you is that the difference in the amount of oil we might get out of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge would not really affect the economy.
No, again, I wasn't making that reference to talk about the volume of oil and the impact on national energy needs. What I was talking about is most people think in terms of environment in their backyard. And it's very easy to say, I think X area should be left totally preserved because it doesn't necessarily affect me immediately. It may indirectly through gas prices, but in terms of an immediate impact, it's very easy to say, I think an area in a faraway place should be held pristine, but I need to develop in my neighborhood.
Michelle Brown is Commissioner of Alaska's Department of Environmental Conservation. Thanks for taking the time with us today.
Thank you.